We're holding on Kofiyot Zion. Ahmed Bey is the first line of the wide lines. Continuing with cases, we were discussing, the last thing we were discussing was the concept of matzo, atzo, and mamon chaveiro, where a person saves himself by damaging or destroying somebody else's property, and when he's chayev, when he's chayev because of that to pay the other person, and when not. So here's another example. There was a man who there was a ferry that he and a bunch of other people were going to be using to cross the river. And this guy went and put his donkey on the ferry, Kamedisliku in Shiva Mabra, before other people got onto the ferry. And now when other people got on, or it could even be after, Rashi just says, Bahoyubanoshim, there were people over there. So it could be whatever. The point is that now the people on the ferry and the donkey over there made it too heavy. Boy lock buoy. So now the ship, now the ferry was going to sink. Also, hu gavra molach le lachamra da hu gavra. So one person came and molach the donkey belonging to that other guy, v'shadya l'nahara, and threw it into the river. What does molach mean? Rashi gives two possibilities. One is that molach means he pushed it over into the water. The other explanation is the word molach, the shodash molach, the word malach, Mem Lamed Ches, means a sailor. In fact, we have in this week's parashah, Mamulach Toher Kodesh, where Rashi explains over there that it means that the Kodesh is very well blended in the sense that a malach, a sailor, is stirring up the water with his oars as he's moving the ship. So the same way over here, malach, so the same way over here then, Malach Lechamra would mean that he acted as a sailor and threw over the donkey. Either way, the point is the tov, so the shadi lanari threw the donkey into the river, the tovan it drowned. Also the kamei derava, so the case came to Rabba. Also the kamei derava, so the case came to Rabba Patre, and Rabba said he's potter from paying because he did it in order to save everybody else on the boat. Omalei Abaye v'al matzalatzim mamon chaveiro. Who's Abaye asked, what about this matzalatzim mamon chaveiro? Shouldn't he be chayev on those grounds? Yes, he saved himself, but it was at somebody else's expense, and therefore he should be chayev to pay. Omalei, so Rabbi answers him, no. Hai me'ikra roidif hava. Because in this case, the donkey is considered a roidif. It's endangering everybody by the extra weight on the boat. And then, and the fact is that that you have, for example, when a roidif is chasing after somebody, and that nirdif goes and then breaks kalim that belong to the roidif, then he's not chayev to pay. If he breaks kalim belonging to other people, he is chayev. That the Gemara deals with in Sanhedrin. But if he breaks the roidif's own kalim, he's potter, because the roidif himself is chayev misa in that sense, and therefore his kalim also are no better than that. So that's so Rabbah tells him. Rabba Taimei. And in fact, Rabba goes according to his Svara. If Reuven is chasing after Shimon with intent to kill him, the Shibra Sakalim, and Reuven, while he's chasing after Shimon, breaks Kalim, Ben Shal Nirdaf Ben Shal Koladam, whether the Kalim belong to Shimon, the one who he's pursuing, or whether they belong to somebody else, Potter, then he's Potter from paying, not because he shouldn't be Chayev, not because he's allowed to do it, trying to Mischayev Benafsha, but because he's Mischayev Benafsha, he's Chayev Misa as a Roidif, and therefore, so Kom Lebe Derabine. But on the other hand, when near Daf Shashibar Sakalim, show Roid, on the other hand, when near Daf Shashibar Sakalim, when the one who's being pursued, if he breaks Kalim, show Roidif Potter, if those Kalim belong to the Roidif, then the near Daf is Potter, because you can't say that his money should be more Chaviv than his body. If Ruven's body is already able to be killed, if necessary, in order to save Shimon, then we certainly can't say that his Kalim should be in a stronger position than that he shouldn't be able to break those in an effort to get away from him. Abel Shokol Adam Chayev, but if he breaks Kalim belonging to somebody else, he's Chayev, because he's not allowed to save himself using somebody else's mum. So So therefore, so he shouldn't be breaking somebody else's kelim. And if he does, then he's going to be chayev. We learned about this actually previously on Daf Samach, Samach Aleph. We have the whole story over there with David fighting against the Plishtim, and there were stacks of grain over there, stacks of grain and lentils over there. And you're allowed to burn grain and lentils belonging to Jews in order to flush out the Plishtim. And usually you're not allowed to, but a king we said was an exception. Anyway, so in this case, Shimon, if he breaks the kelim belonging to other people, then he shouldn't have done that in the first place. Therefore, he's going to be chayev to pay them. Anyway, continues Rabbah. The roidef show you roidef achar roidef. Now, what about if you have Levi gets involved over here? Reuven is chasing after Shimon, intending to kill him, and Levi starts chasing after Reuven in order to stop Reuven and save Shimon. So then, Lahatzel, and he's doing that in order to save, Beshover Kalim, and he broke Kalim, Ben Shal Nirdaf Ben Shakol Adam, if Levi breaks Kalim in his pursuit, whether they belong to Reuven or Shimon or anybody, then he's Potter. Now, if they belong to Reuven, anyway, we said he's Potter, but even if they belong to Shimon or if they belong to Yehuda, still he's Potter. V'loy min ad-din. Now, it's not that technically it should be so. Technically, there's no reason that he should be breaking somebody else's kelim. Ela she'ima i'after oimer kain. The reason is because if you don't say that, ein l'chadim shematzel shaveri min aroidif, then nobody's going to want to save somebody else from aroidif because he's always going to be afraid that he might break kelim and then he's going to be responsible. This is very negaya nowadays. For example, a person is out on a hatzola call and accidentally they hit a car or something. Based on this, we're saying they might be potter because ein l'chadam, because otherwise it may dissuade them from doing their job. Anyway, the point is that now we actually learned previously when we learned about this on Daf Samach. Does that mean, in other words, it's a matter of pikuach nefesh? So there's no question. Maybe he's allowed to save himself, Shimon, because ein l'chadav shayimid b'fnei pikuach nefesh. So it doesn't mean that he's also Tosfos had explained earlier in the Masechta. Doesn't mean he's also to save himself. It just means that since he could have saved himself without breaking somebody else's kelim, then therefore Shimon would be chayev. And in the case of Levi, again, we're saying Levi is potter because we want to encourage him to work to save somebody else. So we learned there, actually, Rashi used the expression that it's actually osur, and the question is, how can Rashi say that? What about pikuach nefesh, dercha kol ha-tora kula? Anyway, the point is, therefore, we're saying that if the nirdef breaks the roidef's kalim, or anybody breaks the roidef's kalim while they're trying to save the nirdef, then they're potter, because the roidef himself is chayiv misa. So in the same vein over here, Rabbah says that since this donkey was endangering everybody else by its extra weight on the boat and threatening to sink the boat, then therefore this guy was justified in throwing the donkey overboard, and we wouldn't say that we wouldn't call it matzalatim mamon chaveri. It's the equivalent of breaking a roidif's kalim in the process of saving the near death. From this comes the halacha that we talked about the other day. The Rambam says that if you have a boat that's threatening to sink, and somebody goes and throws the cargo overboard in order to save the boat, then mitzvah rabba also, then he did a tremendous mitzvah and saved them. We talked a couple of days ago about the avort that Rebbe says on that about how we are now in Golos and Hashem making it easier for us in terms of mitzvahs. All right, the Mishnah continues. Now we learned in the previous Mishnah again that you had the case where a person stole a field from somebody else, and we said Natluho Masikin. We had in the previous Mishnah that somebody had stolen a field from somebody else, and Masikin, tough goyim or Jews for that matter, came and took it away from him, and we said, when does he have to reimburse the owner versus where, when can he say Harei Shalach Lefanecha? Meaning that he can say, look, you know, even if I hadn't stolen the field, the same thing would have still happened here. So now the Mishnah continues. Shatfa nahar, if a river flooded the field. So here, for example, let's say so the river is so Rashi explained the river the field is near the bank of a river, and he had actually put up levees by the river to raise the height of the side of the river to prevent it from getting flooded, and it got flooded anyway. Oy maloy, harei shalach lefanecha. then the Gazlan can say to the owner of the field, here's your field. In other words, I don't have to reimburse you. I don't have to give you another field because this is like the Makas Medina of the previous Mishnah, meaning that he can say, look, you know, even if the field had remained in your possession, the same thing would have happened. So therefore, I'm not any more responsible. So therefore, I'm not responsible for what happened here. So the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, Hagozel Sodom Echaver, a person steals a field from somebody else, a Shotfan Nahar, and a river floods it. Chayev Lahamed Lai Soda Acha, Divir Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Lazar says he does have to provide him with another field, meaning that Rabbi Lazar is not giving him this way out of Hare Shalach Lefanecha and saying that, look, you know, if I hadn't stolen the field, it would have gotten flooded anyway. Which also means, in other words, Mephoshim point out that Rabbi Lazar would apparently disagree in the previous Mishnah as well. In the case of Natluha Masikin, he would also say that always the Gazlan is chayv to pay. Whereas the Chum say, as we said in our Mishnah, that he can say Harei Shalach Panecha. So, but my Kamiflagi, what is the underlying argument? So Rabbi Lazar, Dardish Ribuyu Mi'uti. So Rabbi Lazar, or Rabbi Eliezer, it says on the side over here, it should be Darshans. When we have a pasuk that has so many times we have pesukim that are written in a form of klal or prat or klal, and many times we have a machlokas tanoyim about that, whether we darshan that in fact as klal or prat or klal as we used to, or whether we darshan it by a different thing called ribui miut ribui. We had that earlier in our masechta in the seventh parak. We have it in many places throughout Shas. So Rabbi Eliezer darshins in terms of ribui of ribui miyot to ribui. So he says like this. The pasuk says. You have the pasuk when the pasuk talks about the case where a person steals and he has a and he denies it and swears falsely and then he has to pay for it. So the pasuk says v'chishesh ba'amisoy b'pikadon. He says that he denies against somebody else involving a pikadon or any of a bunch of other things that it mentions in the pasuk, and then it continues mikol asher yishava olav l'sheker, anything that he might swear on falsely, any kind of claim that he might swear falsely. So Rabbi Eliezer dashens this in terms of ribuy umiyot. So he says v'chishesh ba'amisoy ribuy. The words that he denies the claim of somebody else is a ribuy, meaning any kind of monetary claim. Then you'd have the dinim over there that he has to return it. B'pikadon miyot. Then when it says b'pikadon and it lists a bunch of other kinds of things, then that's a miyot. It would mean only a p'kodin or other things that are described over there. And then mikol asher yishava olav l'sheker. Then when the pasuk continues, anything that he would swear on falsely, chazav a riba. Then that's a riboy again, meaning anything that he might swear on falsely. So ribo umiyot riba hakol. Therefore, Rabbi Eliezer says the ribui miyot ribui comes to teach us that everything is included, including karka. The one thing that we're going to leave out. So Rabbi Eliezer is going to say when we have a ribui miyot ribui, it means that the Torah is telling us leave out one thing that is the least similar to anything else, and that we'll see in a second what that is. So therefore, he says, so karka is included in these dinim, and therefore a person stole karka, then he has a mitzvah of the heshev esagzela. So my riba, my rabbi. So what did he add? So my rabbi komili. It's adding everything. Or my miyat shtaris. What does he mean by it? The one thing we would say is shtaris, which they don't have an intrinsic monetary value of their own. In effect, they're just a piece of paper. So therefore, if a person steals shtaris, then Rabbi Eliezer is going to say he doesn't have a mitzvah of the heshev esagzela on them. But anything else that he steals, he does have a mitzvah of the heshev esagzela. That includes fields. So now he stole a field, he stole land. Then Rabbi Eliezer says he still has a mitzvah of the heshev esagzela. If the field is damaged, it's been flooded, as in our Mishnah, then yes, he's going to have to give him back a piece of land that's worth as much as what he took before. So therefore, he'd have to give him another field. And therefore, that is why Rabbi Eliezer is saying in the Braisa that Chayev Lahamed Lo Sadach. V'rabbonin Daushi Kloli Uprati. The Chachamim, meanwhile, are going to Daushin in terms of Klal Uprat. V'chichesh Klal, v'pikodin Prat. Oy Mikoyel Chazer Kolal, where you have, instead of a ribui miyot ribui, they're Daushining it as a Klal Uprat Uprat. As klal prat klal, so klal prat klal iat don elakein prat. What that tells us is that we have to make that the klal is going to be only things that are similar to the prat. Ma prat dovra metaltel v'gufa mamon. The prat includes a pikodin is something which is metaltel because you can't give land as a pikodin. You can't move it from its place. So a pikodin would be metaltelin. V'gufa mamon and something that has intrinsic value because the pashtos, when you give somebody a pikodin, usually it's something that has an actual intrinsic value. You could conceivably be mafkid shtaris, sure, but that's not the usual thing to be mafkid. The same way when we say there's a mitzvah, the heshvas exela is only on things that are movable and gufay moment and that have intrinsic value. So yotzev karkois shein metaltlin. Therefore, the chum say karka is excluded because it's not movable. Yotzev avodim shehuk shelo karkois. It also excludes avodim knanim because they are compared to karka. And the Torah has in Parshas Bahar, where it says they are these nachaltim oisam, that you will bequeath your children to your avodim to your children as an achuza, as a landed inheritance. So we see that avodim are similar to karka. So therefore, the chumseh of karka is excluded from the heshev es hagzela, so are avodim. Yotzu shtoris, and it excludes shtoris, sha'af pisha metaltlin, even though they are movable, ain't gufan moment, they don't have intrinsic value, they only have a value for what's written in them. Therefore, the Chacham said the mitzvah of the Heshev HaSegzela doesn't apply to those, and therefore the Gazlan is able to say, as long as they haven't, Harei Shaloch Lefanecha, as far as Avodim, we had an example in the previous parak, for example, that a person stole Avodim, and they became old, then he can also say Harei Shaloch Lefanecha. So here, the Chacham is saying the same thing as far as the Karka. Yes, the Karka was damaged by the flood, but nevertheless, he doesn't have a mitzvah of the Heshev HaSegzela, he can return the exact Karka as is, even though now it's worth a lot less. In fact, by the way, there is a machlokas rishonim. Does that mean the Rambam says nevertheless there still is an issur of lois sigzol on it, and Rashi mentions that on the posik as well. So on the other hand, what we're saying over here in the Gemara is there is an issur to steal land, but there isn't specifically a mitzvah of a heshev hasagzela on it. There is a Tosfos elsewhere that says that because in Karka Nigzelus, then it means there's no issur of Gzela on it at all. Marsha and Tosfos discuss over there what that means exactly. According to Tosfos, would that mean that there's actually no issur of Loisigzel over there? Or would it mean there is, but there's no mitzvah of the Heshvas Gzela, like Rashi and the Rambam say? Okay. The Gemara says, "V'hod etanya." Now, what about this that we learn in a Braisa? Hagozel is a part of a shot for nahar. Suppose a person steals a cow and it was swept away and drowned by a river. That Rabbi Lozer says that then he has to give him another cow, and the Chum say that no, he can say Harei Shalach Fanecha. Now a cow is metaltlin and gufan mamon. So hosim amayikam ifthadi. So in that case, what's the underlying machlokas? Karka, fine, we understand whether we say that karka is included in Veheshev HaSegzela, but a cow is definitely included in Veheshev HaSegzela. Why would the Chum say he can say Harei Shalach HaFanecha? And the answer is, the case is that he stole a field from somebody else. There was a cow lying in that field. He didn't actually do any kind of kinyan on that cow. So it's considered, therefore, like the karka. It goes together with the karka, the shot for nahar, and then the river flooded the field and also drowned the cow. So now the question is, basically, was he koina the cow through Kenyan Agav? You have the cows in the field. If we say that Kauka Nigzelus, that the concept of Gzela does apply to Kauka, then it would mean that he also, together with the field, he was also koina the cow with Kenyan Agav. Therefore, he would be chayev to pay for the cow as well. On the other hand, if we say he wasn't koina the field, then he wasn't koina the cow either. Therefore, he'd be potter. In fact, actually, an interesting point that's discussed over here among Achronim is Suppose a person is koina a field from hefker without das acheres makna, without somebody else being makna to him, would he be able to be koina things with it with kinyan agav? So the Ktsois says that yes, it would work because what are you saying over here? That it's not hefker the field over here, but the other guy is certainly not giving it to him. He's stealing the field, and yet we're saying over here in the Gemara that it's possible for kinyan agav to work with that. And he explains that it must be Kenyan Agav and not Kenyan Chotzer because he doesn't actually own the Chotzer. So it would only work in Kenyan Agav. On the other hand, the Nesivus disagrees with the Ktsois on that and says no, because you need Das Acheres Makne, and here you don't have. The reason why it would work over here is because Rebbe Lazar would say Stam Gzela Yush Bailim, as soon as he stole it, we assume the owner, as soon as he finds out, will be Miyayish of it, or we could talk about even that the owner did know about it already and was Miyayish. And therefore, at that point, we can say he was koine. The discussion over here would be before he was miyayish. So, and similarly, there's a Tosfos earlier in the Masechta that the Nesivus brings that once an owner is miyayish, it's considered as though he gave it. There is a certain element of das acheres makne because the other person's das that he was miyayish. Anyway, so the point is, so now Rabbi Lazar and the Chachamim are going according to their respective shittis. Rabbi Lazar, who holds that ain't Kauka Nigzelas, that the whole concept of Gzela doesn't apply to Kauka, he would say, well, then he wasn't Koina the cow either. He didn't do any Meshicha or anything on the cow. The only way to acquire it would be with Kinyan Agav. Well, he wasn't Koina. Therefore, he can say, how do they, therefore, Rabbi Lazar would say that Kauka is Nigzelus, that you do have a mitzvah of Veheshavas Agzela when it comes to Kauka. So therefore he says, well, therefore the Kauka itself is considered to be in the Gazlan's possession, so is the cow, because Kinyan Agav, and therefore he's chayiv to pay for both of them. But Abonim Taimayo and the Chama going according to their shitta, that since he was never coin of the field, because Ein Kauka Nigzelus, therefore he was never coin of the cow either, and therefore we can say Harei Shalach Lefanav. Okay. Mishnah says, HaGozel Aschaveira, a person steals from somebody else, Osha Hilva Himenu, or he borrowed money from him, Osha Hifgidloi, or the other person gave him the Kadin, the Yishuv, in the settled area, so any of these things took place in the city, Loi Yachzu, Loi Bamidbar. Then he cannot return it to him in the desert. Meaning, in other words, obviously, if the guy is willing to accept it in the desert, then fine. But if not, then the other guy, so the loiver or the thief or whatever can't force the other guy to take the payment in the desert because it's not a place where he can easily guard it. The other guy can say, look, you know, in the desert, there's a much greater likelihood that it'll get stolen or lost or whatever. So no, you're responsible for it until we get back to the city. Amanats lotzis bamidbar. But on the other hand, if it was amanats that they're going to go out into the desert, yachzor after the bamidbar, then he can return it to him even in the desert. We'll see in the Gemara what exactly that means. So the Gemara says, Uraminu, I have a contradiction on the first part of the Mishnah. A braisa says milva mishtalemes b'chol mokum. A milva alone can be paid anywhere. Sounds like it means even in the midbar. Avedo pikadin ein mishtamun elo b'mekaydman. Whereas an avedo or pikadin can be paid only in their place. Now the Mishnah had equated all of them. Whether he stole, whether he borrowed money, whether he was mafkid. In all those cases, we said he can't return it to him in the desert unless the other guy agrees. But here the braisa is saying that a milva you could pay anywhere. Implying, in other words, so Reuven borrowed money from Shimon. Now they happen to be together in the desert, and Reuven says to Shimon, you know what, I'm ready to pay you back your loan. Here, take it. Then it sounds like from the Braisa, Shimon can't say, well, no, I'm afraid it may get stolen over here. You hold on to it till we get back to the city. It sounds like from the Braisa that Reuven is able to give it to Shimon Baal Korchai, whereas in the Mishnah, it seems that not. So the Abaya says, no, the Braisa doesn't mean that he can force him to accept the money. It means milva nitnali tova b'chol makom. It means a milva can be demanded for payment anywhere. Meaning the other way around. Shimon can say to Reuven, even in the desert, where is my money? The time's up. You need to be paying me. We can say, maybe you don't have that particular money that I lent you with me. Doesn't matter, of course. Milva lahitza nitna. You have other money with you, so pay me out of the other money that you have. Because yes, I'll take my chances here in the midbar. So he is able to do that. Aveda Pekodin Lenitna Litova Alabim Koyman, as opposed to an Aveda, if Reuven had found a lost object of Shimon, and now they're together in the desert and they don't have the Aveda with them, or Pekodin, same thing, Loinitna Litova Alabim Koyman, then the Braise is saying that you can't, that Shimon can't demand from Reuven in the desert, pay it, give it to me now, or else I'm gonna make you pay, because it's not there. Now, obviously, we don't mean the Rif and other Rishonim point out, if the thing is there, if they do have the Aveda or the Pekodin with them, then sure, Shimon can tell Reuven, return it now. But if they don't have it with them, the point is, unlike a Milva, which Lahitzah Nitna, and therefore he doesn't have the ability, therefore he does have the ability to say that anywhere. So the Braise, in other words, in short, the Braise is focusing on the side of things that the Malva or the Mafkid or whatever, what his rights are in terms of demanding the repayment or the return of the item. Whereas the Mishnah is focusing more on the Loiva or the Gazlan or whatever side of things that he can't force the other person to accept it in the Midbar in any of the three cases. Because Shimon can say it's too dangerous over here, I'm afraid I might lose it. So rather, since you didn't give it to me until now, then wait till we get back to the city and give it to me. Okay, then we said in the Mishnah, Manas Lotzis Bamidbar, that if it was on condition that they're going out to the desert, now it sounds like what that means is that the Loiva had said that I'm borrowing, the, or whatever, the Loiva or the Nifkad or whatever had said that I'm borrowing this thing from you, I'm Manas that we go out to the desert and I'll pay you over there. So the Gemara says, Pshita, well, obviously, if he made such a Tanai, then obviously any Tanai Shav Mammon is valid. The answer is, Loit Sricha de Omale. No, what it means is that the owner tells the Shomer, Lehevi Hai Pekodin Gaboch. No, it means in the city, he tells him, I want you to hold on to this Pekodin and to watch it for me. Da Anola Midbar Nafikna. I plan to be traveling out to the desert, and therefore I want you to watch this thing for me. So now the Shomer answers, I also plan to go to the desert, meaning, in other words, implicitly, so he's not saying an explicit tonight, but he's saying, in effect, he's saying, if I want to return it to you over there, if I want to take the Pekodin along with me, and return it to you over there, then I'm within my rights to return it to you over there. Meaning, in other words, the chiddush is, even though he didn't actually make an actual tnai, he's only saying if I want to, but still, now that Reuven, the mafkid, realizes that Shimon, the owner, Shimon, the shomer, is also going out to the desert and is reserving himself the option to pay him in the desert, then it means that he accepted that, and if not, then he's going to have to find another shomer. So therefore, that's what the Mishnah says. Yachzu Lei B'Midbar. In that case, then he is in fact allowed to go and take that item along with him to the Midbar and return it there. There is actually a difference in Girse and Rashi over here. The Rashi, as we have in front of us, is ibot is, which means if you want to return it over there, then I can return it. So in other words, it wouldn't be so much that the Shomer himself is reserving the right to do that, but he's saying, I'm going to take it along, and if you want me to return it over there, then I'll do that. And implicitly, that means that he agreed to that, as opposed to the way that we just explained it, that he's saying it's up to me, would really be, that would be, Marsha points out that's the correct Girsa in Rashi, and the Rosh also has the Girsa like that, if I want to return it over there. In other words, he's saying it depends on me, and therefore, since the other guy accepted it, then that's how it is. Mishnah says, if Reuven says to Shimon, I previously stole from you, or Hilvisani, or you lent me money, all this kind of thing is called Oidisa, that he's moida, that he owes certain money, or Hifkadta Etzli, or you were mafkid something by me, I don't know if I gave you back the gzela or the loan or the pikadin. Chayev l'shalem, then he's chayev to pay. As we'll see in the Gemara, why? But if he says to begin with, I don't know whether I even stole from you or you lent me or you were mafkid by me, so then he's potter from paying. So in other words, in the Reisha, he's saying that I know that I was chayev, but I don't know whether I patterned myself. In the second case, he's saying I don't even know in the first place whether I was chayev. So it's basically the Taz explains it's basically a matter of chazaka in the first case, since he knows that there was a claim of money against him over there, then the chazaka is that the chazaka is that that he still has to pay it. In the second case, the chazaka is that he didn't owe it in the first place, and therefore he doesn't have to. So the Gemara says itmar. Now we have a discussion related to that point. Monali biyod chavala omer in yodea. What about? So in the case of the Mishnah, Reuven himself goes over to Shimon and says, I know that previously I borrowed money from you, but I'm not sure if I paid back. Here it's the other way around. Here it's the case that we're going to discuss in the Gemara is the other way around. Shimon goes over to Reuven and says, Mona li biyadcha, you owe me a mona, v'hallo oimer eni yadea. And Shimon says, I don't know. I don't know, meaning Tosfa says, when he says, any idea, I don't know if I actually owe you that money in the first place, meaning I don't know if you actually lent me that money or were mafkid me or whatever. Now, Tosfos points out, in the Reisha, after all, we said for sure he's chayev to pay. So therefore, when we're going to have a machloikas over here, Rav Huna, when we're going to have a machloikas over here, Amiroyim, whether he's chayev or potter, and obviously they're not arguing on the Mishnah. So therefore, Tosfos says, because they're arguing, the case they're arguing about is similar to the Sefer of the Mishnah. Namely, so it's not that he says any idea as in, I know you lent me, but I'm not sure if I paid back, but rather he means any idea as in, I don't know whether in fact you lent me in the first place, which would be like the Sefer of the Mishnah. Anyway, so Rav Huna v'Rav Yehuda Amri Chayev, v'Rav Nachman v'Rav Yechanan Amri Potter. So Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda say he's going to be Chayev to pay, Rav Nachman and Rav Yechanan say he's going to be Potter. Rav Huna v'Rav Yehuda Amri Chayev, Bori v'Shema Bori Odich. Because you have a body claim that you owe me money, and against that we have a shema, maybe I owe you money or maybe not, so the body wins out, and therefore he's chayev to pay. Rav Nachman, Rav Yochanan, Ami Potter, because they say, uki mamoina b'cheskos morei, because they say you have to leave the mammon in the chazaka of its owner, and here the money, the one who's being claimed against is the one who's mochzak in the money right now. Now Rashi points out he will have to swear. He will have to say. After all, suppose that when Reuven goes over to Shimon and says you owe me 100, if Shimon had counterclaimed and said I don't owe you anything, he would have to swear a shuas hesis. So the same way Rashi says over here, yeah, he's going to have to swear a shuas hesis, but he won't have to. But once he does, then he will be potter. Now Tosfos actually discusses that and says it may not be so simple whether in fact we could be mechayev shvua over here. Tosfos discusses that in some length over here and says maybe not over here. There are different lashonis about it in a Gemara in Shavuos, and it's also we're going to talk about it in a few days at the beginning of Bava Metzia, Be'ez Hashem. So not necessarily in this case, are we going to make him swear a shvua? In any case, Tosfos points out, by the way, since the halacha is usually like Rabbi Yechon and Dinim Mamanis, that's how it would be over here. So he would in fact be potter. And again, whether potter means that he doesn't have to do anything at all, as Tosfos is saying, or whether it means that he has to swear a shvua tesis, that you have a machlokas about. So again, Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda are saying, because after all, you have a body versus Shema, and body therefore is stronger. And on the other hand, Rav Nachman and Rav Yechon are saying, uki mamoni b'cheskas morei, you have to put the money in the chazaka of the owner, and since he's still mochzik in the money, because again, he's saying, Shimon is saying, that I don't know if you b'chalal ever lent me this money, and I'm right now mochzik in the money, then therefore they'd say he'd be potter from paying. So the Gemara says, Tanan, let's look at our Mishnah and see which one it fits with better. We said of the Mishnah in the Sefer, Avlim Omala in Yadeim Hilwisani Potter. We said that if Reuven says to Shimon, we said the other way around that Shimon goes over to Reuven and tells him, I don't know if you lent me money in the first place. So Hechidami, what's the scenario? If you're talking about where Reuven had never previously said anything to Shimon, and Shimon one day out of the blue goes over to Reuven and says, I'm not sure if you lent me money or not. So then, Reisha Nami, the Katovale, well, then in that case, the Reisha would also have to be where he says that I borrowed from you, but I don't know if I paid back, would also have to be without Reuven first claiming anything and Shimon saying only on his own. So then am I Chayev? Why would he be Chayev in the first place? If he himself is, in effect, it's like a Pesha also, a Pesha Hitu. He's the one who's saying that I may owe you money, but I'm not sure. So you can't be Mechayev to him to pay on those grounds when Reuven himself didn't even go over and demand anything. Evidently, both cases of the Mishnah must be talking about where there was previously a claim by Reuven. The Katani Sefer Potter Melashalim. And still the Sefer says that if he's saying, I'm not sure if I borrowed from you in the first place, then he's Potter, which would fit with Rav Nachman and Rav Yechanan. But how are Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda are going to understand that? They who say that if Reuven claimed and if Shimon said back, I don't know if I still owe you the money, or I don't know, rather, if I borrowed from you, that they would say he's Chayev. Why? Based on the inference from the Mishnah, he should be Potter. And the answer is like, no, because that's not the mission. It doesn't mean that there was a claim to begin with by Reuven. In fact, both cases in the Mishnah are talking about Reuven never claimed anything in the first place. Because the Reisha is talking about where he's only coming to be Yotze, to be Yotze punishment from Hashem. So in other words, when it says in the Reisha of the Mishnah Chayev, means not technically, he wouldn't technically be Chayev to pay, but it means that he'd be more Chayev in order to save himself from the din of Shemayim, because after all, he has reason to think that he might be Chayev to pay, and therefore we would actually say that we'd actually be Mechayev him on the grounds lots of Yidei Shemayim. If he wants to be Chayev, if he wants to be Yotze, being punished by Hashem, then he should pay. Whereas in the Sefer, he doesn't have to do that. So our Mishnah has no bearing on the machlokas of Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda versus Rav Nachman and Rav Yechanan, because they're talking about where Reuven did make a claim, and the Mishnah may well be talking about where he didn't make a claim. And the Gemara says, Itmar Nami, they said also, Amar Rav Chiya Abba, Amar Rav Yechanan, Ha'im al-Chaver Amana li biyodcha, if Reuven says to Shimon, you owe me a money, v'haloyim any yadeya, and Shimon says, I don't know, Chayev b'volotis yidei shamayim, then he is Chayev. He is chayev in order to be yotze from Hashem's point of view. So b'din adam, you can't make him pay. But where he wants to be yotze yidei shemayim, so we see, in other words, that even Rabbi Yochanan, who said that in the case where he says money biyodcha v'aloyim eni yadeya, and Rabbi Yochanan is one of the ones who are saying potter. Nevertheless, the same Rabbi Yochanan would say chayev b'volotis yidei shemayim. So the same thing. So the Mishnah would also be talking about, because as Rashi says, there is a little bit of a tainas bori over there, because after all, the Reuven is saying that you owe me this money. So Rav Huna is gonna. So Rav Huna is gonna say that. Then in the Reisha, yes, we are talking about that there was no Tviya in the first place, but there is a little bit of a body, because the Gazlan himself knows, or the Gazlan, or the Loiva, or whatever, knows that he stole or borrowed or whatever in the first place. Therefore, he's Chayev Lotzis L'dei Shemayim, and Rav Nachman would say that he's Potter. Next, the Mishnah says, Hagonav Tlemina Eder, if a person stole a sheep from the flock of sheep, and he returned it without telling the owner. But now that animal died or was stolen, the ganav is still chayav in the achrayus of it, because once he stole it, then came into his rishus, and he didn't to return it, he would have to inform the owner. So if the owner never knew in the first place that it had been stolen and that it had been returned, and they counted and they found their full flock of sheep. So in the Reisha, we're talking about that the owner knew the animal was stolen. So previously he knows he had 10 sheep. Now he counts them and finds only 9. So he realizes one is missing. And afterwards, therefore, when you return at Shaloi Ladas Bailim, then it's not going to work, because he doesn't know yet that it's returned. But in the second case of the Mishnah, he knows, he never knew to begin with that a sheep was missing, and now the ganav returned it, and now you still have the same 10 sheep as before. So then Potter, now he's Potter if the animal dies or whatever, because now you have das bai, monu asatzoin, ushlemahi, and they counted the sheep, and now they have the full number, then Potter, then the ganav is Potter. So, Now the Reisha and the Sefer seem to be, although we have to figure out, because we're talking about, so, after all, when Hichziroi, without the Das Bailim, but eventually he counts them, no? So we have to figure out what exactly are the scenarios. So Omar Rab, La Das Tzorich Das. The rule is like this. If he stole the sheep and the owner knew about it, the owner knew that the sheep is gone, Tzorich Das, then that would be the case where he needs Das, that he has to inform, and he has to actually inform the owner that he returned the sheep. And in other words, Rav is saying that if he doesn't, even though the owner recounted the sheep and found the full number, he's still going to be chay bachriyosa, because Rav is going to say once he stole it, once it was a full-fledged theft, and the owner knew about it, then it's considered a gneva gmura, and now it needs a hashava gmura. Now he needs to actually inform the owner in so many words, I return your sheep. That's according to Rashi. The Rashba actually learns different, that even according to Rav, it would be enough that the owner sees that he returns it. He doesn't necessarily have to say so. But anyway, according to Rav, the point is that was Ladas. Tzorich Das, you need to have, he stole it, and the owner knew that he had stolen it. Then when he returns it, it needs to be that the owner knows that he's returning it. Shaloi Ladas, Minyan Poiter. But if to begin with, he stole it without the owner knowing, then it's enough when the owner afterwards counts the sheep and finds the full number, and then the Ganav is Poiter. And so Rav says, V'chikatoni umonu asatzon v'ishlema. So when the Mishnah mentions the case that he counted the sheep and found the full number, a sefer, then that would refer to the sefer, the case where he stole it without the owner knowing to begin with that he had stolen it. Because to begin with, the owner hadn't even known. So now when the owner counts and finds 10 sheep, then now the ganav is potter from anything further with that animal, because to begin with, the owner didn't even know that there was a sheep missing. That's a coin to that. Shmuel says no. Bein ladas, bein shelo ladas, minyan poter. Whether he stole it and the animal and the owner knew about it or whether not, either way, when the owner counts it and finds the full 10 animals over there, then the ganav is poter from anything further. The chikatoni umanu v'hishlema. When the Mishnah says that he counted the sheep and found the full number poter, akula, then it would refer to both cases in the Mishnah, both when the owner knew about it and when the owner didn't know about it. In either way, once the owner counts the sheep and finds the full number, then Shmuel says that's good enough. So Rashi explains that Shmuel would learn the Mishnah as follows. If a person steals a sheep, and in the ratio we're talking about where the owner knew about it, and then he returned it and messed, and then the animal died, chay bachriyosa, if the owner hadn't counted it yet. And also, if lo yodu bailam, lo b'nei vasev, lo b'chazirase, then also he'd still be chayev. But monu asatzon. But Shmuel would say monu asatzon is not a continuation of the second case. It's referring back to both cases. If the owner counted the sheep, then whether to begin with they knew it had been stolen or not, then either way, then ushlemehi, and he finds the complete number potter, then the ganav would be potter. But Rabbi Yochanan, a third opinion, Rabbi Yochanan says lodas minyan potter. When he stole it and the owner knew about it, then the minyan patters it. The fact that the owner counted it afterwards and found the complete number, that patters the ganav from any further achrayos. Shaloi ladas. And if, on the other hand, he had stolen without the owner even knowing, afilo minyan nami leitzorich, then Rabbi Yochanan would say, you don't even need to count. You don't even need the counting. If the owner never knew that the animal was missing in the first place, then once the ganav returns it, still without the owner knowing, we don't even care at that point whether the owner knows anything had happened there in the first place. Either way, Rabbi Yochanan learns that the ganav is going to be potter. So Rabbi Yochanan is going to learn the Mishnah as follows. He stole a sheep, and Yodu, the owner, found out about it. So then Chaya Bachriyason, if they didn't count, but if Lo Yodu Abaylin, then even if there was no counting, or if they counted, even if there was Yediyah, then he'd be potter. So therefore, when the Mishnah says that he's potter, if the owner counted the sheep and found the complete number, would refer a Reisha, and it would refer to the Reisha, whereas in the Sefer, where Lo Yodu Bailim, then Rabbi Yochanan would say the Mishnah means either way, we don't even need him to count it, because the owner didn't know that anything happened, and the Ganav returned it, then therefore, at that point, he's potter from any further achrayos. Rav Chista Amar, And Rav Chisda says a fourth understanding. Lada'as minyan poter. If he stole it, lada'as, the owner knew about it. Then once the owner counts them and finds the complete number, then at that point, the ganav is poter. Shaloi lada'as, tzorich das. But if he had stolen it without the owner knowing, then you would need to tell him that the animal was stolen. So in other words, so pretty much the opposite of Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan had said ladas minyan poiter and shaloi ladas. You don't even need minyan. According to Rav Chisda, it's the other way around. If the owner knew that it had been stolen, then as far as ladas, he agrees with Rabbi Yechanan. If it was ladas, he agrees with Rabbi Yechanan that minyan poiter. Unlike Rav would said sorich das. Shaloi ladas, tzorich das, but Rav Chisda disagrees with Rabbi Yechanan about what happens. Shaloi ladas, where according to Rabbi Yechanan, he wouldn't need to do anything at all, and according to Rav Chisda, fakir, when the owner did not know that anything had happened here in the first place, then the ganav does need to inform him, I return this animal. And then he's potter. And so he says also, like Rabbi Yechanan, that the case where he counted the sheep and found that the full number would refer to the reisha. Whereas in the sefer, he would say, it's not enough for the owner to have counted the sheep. You need to actually inform him that the sheep was returned. So the Gemara says, Omar Rava. Rabba is a different gesa. My time of Rav Chisda. Why does Rav Chisda hold that? Why shouldn't it be enough that the owner just counted and found the complete number? Because this animal has already been taught a different way. So in other words, Rashi explains the point of the question was all the other three opinions we understand. They're all saying that Ladas is stronger than Shaloi Ladas. So it's easier to understand the Mishnah according to them. According to Rav Chisda, we have to be doichet the Mishnah and say like this, that is chayav achrayus whether the owner counted the sheep or not, but only if the owner didn't know anything. And if he knew about it, then you need to actually inform him. So that's a big doichik in the Mishnah. And also, it's odd. Why should he say that if the owner knew about the theft, then you need to take greater steps to inform him? And it's not enough minyan. The reason is hayov inkata nigri b'riyasa. The reason is because the ganav has in effect taught this animal to walk a different way. So now, from now on, this animal is going to have to be guarded more carefully to make sure it doesn't run away. Because it already got used to that it can go a different way. It's not unlike all the other sheep who only know instinctively one way to go. So now according to Rav Chisda, he has to actually inform the owner this sheep was stolen so that the owner will know to guard it more carefully. So it's not enough for him. So that's why Rav Chisda is saying it's not enough for him to just count and find all the sheep are there, because he has no way of knowing that this particular sheep is more likely from now on to run away. So the question is, Umi Omar Rava Hachi. So did Rava really say that? We're saying that Rava is understanding, is explaining Rav Chisda's opinion. On the face of it, he's not only explaining his opinion, we would assume he means the halacha is like Rav Chisda. So did Rava say that the halacha would be like Rav Chisda? But Omar Rava, Haiman de Chazi lechavre, the Agba Imra Me'edra Didei. If a person sees somebody else picking up a sheep from his flock of sheep, the Rama Beikola, and he yells at him, the Shadye, and the Ganav drop the sheep, the Lo Yoda, he Hadre Eloi Hadre, and the owner of the sheep actually doesn't know whether the Ganav returned the sheep or not, Omes. And that sheep died or was stolen. Then the ganav is chaya bachrusa. My love, afagav the money. Now, wouldn't that mean that the same thing would mean even when the owner of the sheep now counted the sheep and found that the sheep is back? So we see, in other words, that now this was a case of ladas, because Rava is describing he saw him picking up the sheep with intent to steal it and he yelled at him. So here we're talking about ladas. Now Rav Chisda had said ladas minyan poiter, that if the owner knows about it, then once he counts the sheep and finds that all the sheep are there, then at that point the ganav is poiter. Whereas over here, Rava is saying that no, even though on the face of it, Rava's din means even if he counted it, then still he's going to be chayev. Then still the ganav is going to be chayev. So that would mean that he doesn't. So that would mean that he doesn't hold like Rochista. And the Gemara answers, loy deloy money. No, because you could say that maybe Rava's din is only when he didn't count the sheep. If he actually counted them, then yes, based on what Rochista is saying, then he would in fact be potter, because now he counted them and found the full number. And the Rashba points out that the Rashba points out that we can't just say that maybe Rava holds like Rav Chista only as far as Shaloi Ladas, because of the Svara that he said before, that now the animal knows a different way of going, whereas by Gneva Ladas he can paskin like Rav. And he says that no, because then the fact of the matter is then you're always going to have you're never going to have a case where Minyan is Poiter, and it's clear from the mission there has to be some case where Minyan is Poiter. So therefore the Gemara was thinking that Rava doesn't hold like Rav Chista, and the answer is that he does. Or the answer is that he's not necessarily talking about the same case, because he's talking about actually it was Ladas, of course, but we're talking about where afterwards he didn't count them, and therefore until he counts them, then the Ganav is still Chayim. I don't know actually why the Gemara didn't answer more simply that we're talking about the Gemara, that he just picked up the animal, so it didn't actually start walking in any other direction yet. Maybe the Gemara assumes even he picked it up already, and like the animal sees areas outside of its normal area. Maybe that would be enough to give it, to put in its brain that, hey, you know, there's a whole world out there. Let me try exploring it. So therefore, maybe that's why the Gemara didn't use that answer. So the Gemara now asks, what about Rav's opinion? Now, what about Rav's opinion, where Rav had said that that if he stole Ladas and the owner knew that it was stolen, then he needs to inform the owner. The opposite actually. Rav had said Ladas Tzorich Das Shaloi Ladas Minyan Poiter, exactly the opposite of Rav Chista. That's what it is. So Rav and Rav Chista are exact opposites. Rav had said if the owner knew that it was stolen, then you need to actually inform him. But if he never knew in the first place, then it's enough that the owner counts the flock. Whereas Rav Chista had said the other way around, if he stole Ladas, then it's enough to count him. But Shaloi Ladas, you need to inform him, because as Rav had said, now he needs to be informed that this sheep may wander. So now the question is, so did Rav actually say that that when it was Shaloi Ladas, then you need that that Shaloi Ladas, then you need the owner to count the sheep? Rav had said that if the Ganav returned the animal to a flock of sheep that the Balabas had in the desert, so not even necessarily the same flock that he did in the first place, but Yotze, so he is Yotze. Now there's no minion, there's no das. And yet we see Yotze, that Rav says he's Yotze. Omer of Chonan bar Abba, murder Rav b'Rekuasa. Because the difference is, Rav is going to agree when you have a sheep that is that's spotted. B'Rekuasa, you have Agoyes Habach mentions when you have the whole thing in Parshas Vayetze with the spotted and speckled and so forth sheep, you have one type over there that the Targum Onkelos translates as Rekuosa. So here it means the same thing, Rekua, whatever. So it means the same thing over here when the sheep is spotted and had or dappled or whatever, it has like very distinctive markings. So then, as soon as he sees that animal, he's going to realize that it was returned. So now you don't need any further das. You don't need any counting. You don't need any counting like that, because then obviously he knows that the animal has been returned. So that's how Rashi understands the question and the answer. The Rashba understands the question and the answer a little bit differently. The question was that we're saying that when it was Ladas, then you need Das Bailam, you need to actually inform the owner. We're saying that we're talking about that you didn't inform the owner. And the answer is, again, we're talking about a very distinctive animal. So that's considered Ladas Bailam, because as soon as he sees it, he's going to realize that it was returned. The Gemara says, "Lema katanoi." Should we actually say that this whole discussion is actually the subject of a machloekas tanoi? A braisa says, "Hagoin of tlemina eder." If a person steals a sheep from a flock, the sella min akis. So if he steals a sella, a coin from a purse of money, lamakim shagon of yachzu divrei Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says he should just return it to the place where he stole it. Rabbi Akiva omet sorach das bailam, and Rabbi Akiva says he actually needs to inform the owner. Now, Savrua, for purposes of the question, we think Dekula Alma Islahu Rabbi Yitzchak, that both Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva would both agree with the concept that Rabbi Yitzchak says, the Amr Rabbi Yitzchak Odom Osi Lamashmash Bekisa B'chol Shah. Rabbi Yitzchak says that a person usually checks his pockets all the time. So therefore, in other words, when there's money missing, we're going to have that soon in Bav Metzia in a couple of weeks, Be'ez Hashem. So when a person usually checks his money bag or his pocket, and therefore if there's money missing or there's money returned, he's going to realize it right away. So my lab besela ladas. So when we're talking about a seller, now we don't have the svara that we said before. Obviously, a seller is not like the seller has been taught to go in a different place. So therefore, so we assume that when it comes to a seller, when it comes to the case where he stole a coin, so ladas, we're talking about that the owner knew that he was missing the coin, and based on what Rabbi Yitzchok says, he realizes it right away because Adam Asim Mashmash Bekisay Bakal Shah. And the same thing over here then would have to be as far as the sheep over plugged to the Rav Shmuel. In which case the machlokas of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva is exactly the same as the case as the argument of Rav and Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel, who says Lamakam Shagon of Yaxir, would say that either way, Minyan Poiter, once he checks his money bag, which like Rabbi Yitzchak says he's going to do very soon, then he's going to realize that the money's been returned, and therefore that's good enough. Meanwhile, Rabbi Akiva says Tzorech Das Bailim would be like Rav, that since it was stolen with the Das Bailim, then Minyan is not enough, and he actually has to inform him that it was stolen. So in other words, so we assume that in the case of the seller, we're talking about that it was Ladas. Actually, Tosfos has a bit of a different gears over here, that Myla Basella over Tlesh Aloy Ladas, that maybe we're talking about that the seller, the person knew that was stolen because he checks his pocket every so often, and the Tle we're talking about that not. And the answer is Loy, not necessarily, but Tlesh Aloy Ladas. The machlokas is primarily on the tle, on the sheep, where he stole it without the owner knowing, and the seller would also be without the owner knowing, meaning, in other words, not necessarily is Adam Osir Lamashmash Bekisay Bekol Shah, not necessarily is a person checking his money bag all the time. So there could be money stolen without the owner knowing about it, or beplugged to the Reb Chista, Reb Yechanan, and in that case, the machlokas of Rabbi Shmuel and Reb Akiva is the same as the machlokas of Reb Chista and Reb Yechanan and Amun Aleph, where again, Reb Yechanan had said, that whereas Shaloi Ladas, you don't need anything at all, even Minyan, because he didn't know of anything at all. Shaloi Ladas, I feel the Minyan Nami Lotzorich, he had said, I don't know Aleph. Whereas Rav Chista had said that if it was Shaloi Ladas, then you need to inform him, that would be like Rabbi Akiva, that you need to have Das by them. So again, according to the Girsa that we have in front of us, which is Rashi's Girsa, then that's how the Gemara is saying it, as opposed to according to Tosfos's Girsa, then to begin with, the Gemara understands that there's a difference between a seller and an animal, because a seller you don't have the problem of nigri b'riyasa, that it learned to walk a different way, whereas with a coin you do. So according to Tosfos, then in that case it's all part of the same question. Whereas according to the Girsa we have in front of us, there's a question and there's an answer. So Amar Zvid Mishmei the Rava B'Shomer Shagonam Mirushus Bailim. So Rav Zvid says in the name of Rava, if the Shomer stole from the owner's Rishus, or Rashi doesn't even have a Girsa. Rashi doesn't even have a girsa b'shoyma, just the goyim of Mirshus Bailim. If he stole it from the Rishus Bailim, kola amalei pligi kid Rav Chista, then everybody would agree that we have to follow Rav Chista's svara that you need to inform the owner because it was taken from his Rishus. V'hocha b'shoyma shagona mirshusoy. Now the machlokas is rather. So now what the Gemara is doing is it's giving a different explanation of the machlokas Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. Before we were saying that the Gemara had assumed that the machlokas Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva is exactly like one of the machlokas, and we said before, either between Rav Chista and Rabbi Yechanan or between Rav and Shmuel. Now the Gemara is saying that no, not necessarily. not necessarily all Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Akiva arguing on the exact same case as the four Amoraim before. It may be a slightly different case. Again, according to Tosfos, the way Maharsha understands Tosfos, then in that case, then Rav Zvid is saying something else. According to Tosfos's Girsa, it would come out that Rav Zvid is saying. Is saying that only when it comes to a sheep, that there'd be a difference between a sheep and a coin, that only in the case of a sheep would we say that they agree with Rav Chisda, whereas with a coin, not necessarily. So the machlokas would be where the shomer stole it from his own reshus. So in other words, the shomer was supposed to be watching this coin or this sheep or whatever, and he took it and put it someplace else. So now is it enough that he returns it to where it was originally? Rabbi Akiva sava kosa lo shmira. So Rabbi Akiva holds, because he took it in the first place from where it was supposed to be, then that means his shmira is over. He's made himself no longer a shomer. So in effect, there was a gneva over here, a gneva shalo ladas, because the owner didn't know what happened, and therefore, he's going to say that you need das to return it. So he needs to actually inform him that he's returning it. Rabbi Shmuel sava like kosa lo shmira. So Rabbi Shmuel holds that the shmira is not over. He's still considered a shomer, and therefore he just returns it with his own das to where it was, and that's that. And then you have further discussion about that. Again, does that answer the difference as far as an animal versus a does that explain the difference between an animal versus a coin? According to Maharsha's way of learning Tosfos, then yeah, it seems that we ultimately we would make a distinction between with a coin which doesn't have ruach chaim and therefore there's no problem of nigri b'riyasa versus an animal where there is, and therefore after all you have to inform the owner in order for him to know to be more careful with it in the first place. According to Rashi's girsa, then we would say there might not necessarily be a difference. In fact, the Rashba says Bechlal that Rabbi Akiva, who says that Kol Shmirasa, would say that Bechlal, whenever a Shomer is returning something, he has to inform the owner. So he'd have to return it, whereas Rabbi Shmuel would hold he's still a Shomer. Okay, the Gemara says Lema Minyan Poter Tanoi. Fine. Would we have to say though that this concept of that if you count something, then it should potter the gan, that if the owner counts and finds everything there, that now the ganav is potter from any further achrayus, would we say that that's a machlokas tanoim? The Tanya gozels chaveri v'ivliyabalit loy b'cheshben. Suppose a person stole from somebody else and then he included the amount in the cheshben. So in other words, he stole from him. He stole $100 from him. Now at some later date, let's say he's paying him for something that he bought that's worth $1,000, and instead he sticks in an extra $100 and gives him $1,100. So does that work? Tony chode yotzer v'tani idach lo yotzer. One brayse says he's yotzer v'heish v'sagzela, and the other one says not. Now, Savrua, for purposes of the question, again, we assume the Kol Alma Islu de Rabbi Yitzchak, that both opinions would hold like Rabbi Yitzchak, that we said that a person regularly checks his money bag and therefore he'll soon enough discover the extra $100 over there. So my lab the hokamiflagi, in which case then the machlokas would come out as follows. The manda almost yotza sova minion poiter. So the opinion that says that his yotza holds minion poiter, now soon enough the guy counts his money, finds that there's 1,100 instead of 1,000, and therefore at that point the ganav is yotza, the heshiv is exela, umanda oma lo yotza sova minion any poiter. And the opinion that says he wasn't yotza would hold, even though he counts it, that's not enough because he actually has to be informed why he has that extra $100 because the other guy had stolen. So therefore, when we said before that we had appointed Rav Minyan Poiter in the case of Shalom Ladas, and in the case and according to Shmuel, in both cases, Ladas and Shalom Ladas, and according to Rav Yochanan, Ladas, and according to Rav Chisda, and also Ladas, so would we say that the Tanoim over here are arguing, and there is a Tana who says that Bechlal, you don't hold a Minyan Poiter in the first place. So no. The Gemara says, Amri, they answer back. No, it's Svirul on Rabbi Yitzchak, Kol Amal, it's like a Minyan Poiter. No, if everybody agrees with Rabbi Yitzchak, there's no question that Minyan Poiter, because once he counted it, and Rabbi Yitzchak is saying he's going to count it very soon, then fine, the Minyan is Poiter, and that's that. He finds the extra $100. At this point, we don't care whether he knows that it was returned because of Xela or what he thinks it's there for. The fact is, he sees it over there, so therefore, there'd be no question that the Ganav is Yotz of the Hesh of Xela. Ela the Rabbi Yitzchok Kamifligi. Rather, the two brises are arguing: do we accept Rabbi Yitzchok's din or not? Mar isle Rabbi Yitzchok or Mar lasle Rabbi Yitzchok? Do we accept what Rabbi Yitzchok says that because Adam osil mashmash b'kisei b'chol shah, therefore he's soon enough going to find it, and therefore the ganav is yotzer or not? We could instead say everybody agrees with Rabbi Yitzchok. Well, like Kasha, had the money for Roma lebekisei, had the money for Roma liyadei. The difference would be whether when he counted the money, when the Gazlan counted the money and put it into the purse of the Nigzol, so he put it into the Nigzol's purse. Sure, Odomasi Lamashim Kisim B'Kol Shah. So the Nigzol was soon going to find it. Well, had the money Roma liyadei. Whereas we're talking the other case that the Braisa says he's not Yotze would be where he counted out the coins into the Nigzel's hands. So in other words, then we don't know. Is he going to actually put them in his kiss, or is he just going to put them in his money box where he's not even going to bother counting them? So in other words, so that second Braisa, when it says that Lo Yotze, would be talking about that. So here the Gazlan is buying something from him that's worth 1,000. He gives him 1,100, but instead of putting it into his money bag, he gives it into his hand, and we don't know whether the other guy is b'chol going to count it or not. The boy same ID the money say a third possibility. Both cases we're talking about that he put it in the guy's money bag. It depends whether there's already money other money in that bag. If there is, then sure, he's going to be checking it every so often. But if that bag was empty, then there's no reason the Nigzol is going to be checking it. So therefore, then we have no reason to assume that the Nigzol is going to be checking it anytime soon. And therefore, the Gazlan would be chayav b'achli yosod until he informs him that he actually put it in there. So it depends. And actually, all of these possibilities are accepted lahalach. So in fact, you do have that. So in fact, you do have all of these things that if he puts it into his hand or if he puts it into his purse or whatever then if he puts it into his hand, we're saying that he's not Yotze because the other guy may not count it, and even if he puts it into his purse, he may not be Yotze if it was an empty purse because then he may not think. He may not think to look in there because he's going to think to himself, as far as I knew it was empty, why am I all of a sudden going to be counting? The money in there? Okay. Mishnah says, so now our Mishnah is going to be focusing on what you're allowed to buy from people where there's a concern that it might be stolen. You're not allowed to steal yourself, of course. You're also not allowed to buy something that may be stolen from somebody else. It's called Mechazik de Oved Aveda. So the Mishnah says, Ein loich min aroyim tsem v'chol v'gdoyim. You're not allowed to buy from shepherds, and the shepherds are not watching their own animals. They're watching other people's animals. You're not allowed to buy from them tsemer, wool, v'chol or milk, or gdoyim, or baby animals, because they may have stolen them. In fact, Rashi says that they may be stolen. The Rambam says it's a chazaka that they stole them. Similarly, you can't buy from people whose job it is to watch fruit to prevent animals or people from stealing the fruit. You can't buy from them wood or peiris. Same problem, because there's a concern that they may have stolen it. However, you are allowed to buy from women woolen clothes in Yehuda, where it was a common thing that women spun wool and made clothes over there. So therefore, they're doing it with the das of their husbands. Or klei pishtan begolil, linen clothing in the golil in the north of Eretz Yisrael, because that was the common thing they did over there. Va'golim b'shoren, and calves in the shoren, which is the plains, the wide flat plains of Eretz Yisrael. Rashi actually has two explanations. One is that shoren means out in the street, in the public areas, in front of everybody, because obviously if they're selling it in public, then they didn't steal it. The other possibility, it actually says, is shorin is a specific area of Eretz Yisrael, which is a place where they raise calves because it's a very good pasture area. And Rashi says, Loshen ze ikur, this is actually the more correct explanation, that the Shoren is actually a region of Eretz Yisrael. They usually identify it now as like the coastal areas of Eretz Yisrael, like the areas from Tel Aviv northward up to Haifa or something like that, are called the Shoren. Anyway, so you're allowed to do that over there because it's clear that they didn't steal it. It's a normal thing that people do over there. And it's all with the das of their husbands. The kulan sh'omru lahatmin, but in all those cases, even with the woolen or linen garments or the calves, if they tell the owner, if they tell the buyer, hide it, also, then it would be also, because if they're telling him to hide it, then obviously it means there's something wrong over here. You are allowed to buy eggs or chickens anywhere because there's no concern of gneva. They're not gonna. It's so little profit that they're not gonna bother. They're not gonna bother stealing. So the Gemara says, "Turn it on. Ain't like human royim like isn't like doyim like gizin." So you're not allowed to buy from the shepherds goats or adult goats or baby goats, but like gizin. Or fleeces of wool, but like tlushin chotsemer, or even the wool that gets ripped off the animal a little bit when it goes among the thorns or whatever. Even there, that still doesn't belong to them. It still belongs to the owner, and the shepherd has no right to sell it. Avolochim and tfurin, but you are allowed to buy from them the clothes that are already sewn together of neshein shalahem because it's theirs. Rashi explains because they would have been koneh with a shinui. So there is Messiah, but after all, we don't know for sure that it was stolen, so we're not going to be machmir to that extent. That's how the Marshal and the Pnei Yeshua say it. Then there's a different explanation, is because we're talking about that once he's, we're not even talking about sewn clothing. We're talking about he took the tlushin, he took the individual pieces of wool and sewed several of them together. So in that case, then he probably wouldn't have stolen them. Otherwise, he would have just sold them a little bit at a time in order to evade it. So therefore, it's more likely that it is actually his. Continues the Mishnah. Continues the Braisa. You're allowed to buy from them milk or cheese in the midbar because the owner is not going to schlep all the way out to the midbar to take the milk or the cheese that was made from the milk. So therefore, he's mafkir it to the shepherd. So therefore, it's legitimately theirs. But not when it's in the settled areas, because then you should be bringing it to the balabas. You can also buy from them four or five sheep. You would be allowed to buy from them four or five fleeces of wool, because once you have a larger number like that, the shepherd has probably not stolen them. He'd be afraid when he has that large number that the owner is going to find out. But you can't buy two sheep or two fleeces, because that's small enough amount that the owner, that he figures he may be able to get away with it and the owner won't notice. Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a Bicius Leuchem man. Rabbi Yehuda says you are allowed to buy from them domestic animals, the ones that come home regularly and sleep in the house, because the owner knows how many there are, and if there are any missing, he'll find out soon enough, and therefore the shepherd is afraid to steal them. Midborius ain't Leuchem man, but the ones that stay mostly out in the desert, you can't, because then he may figure that the owner is not going to notice. Kola Shaldover, the general rule, Kol Sha'aroi Meuchar Balabais Magish Boi Leuchem man, anything where the shepherd sells it and the Balabas is going to notice it that it's missing, you're allowed to buy from them, because the shepherd will be afraid to try anything. But anything that the owner might not notice, ain't like mehen, you can't buy from them, because then he might try to steal it without the owner noticing. So we'll continue tomorrow, and we'll analyze this, and Beis Hashem tomorrow we'll finish the Masechta as well.